I'm glad you guys all came. I'm sorry for the inconvenience of the room switch and the chairs and all that coming in, but hey, we're all in here, right? All right. I want to tell you a little story to start. Are we good to go?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. We need the little fan. Is there anybody feel stuck in here? Because I heard we can. Mickey, see about getting the air?
He is. John,
awesome.
Getting the air.
Okay. I hope you're enjoying the conference. I know I am.
Yeah.
It's been really fun.
How are you doing?
I don't know if you remember me, but anyway.
It's been a while, yeah.
It's been a while since you guys have played.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, today I want to start with telling you a little story, all right? So it's, maybe some of you can relate to some of this. It's close to Christmas Eve, right? We're behind. We have this great Christmas Eve service we've got to produce, because everybody's expecting it. And we've built this reputation, and our Christmas Eve service is like growing, so we've got to make it great. But we're seriously behind. We have some staff issues because we've lost a couple of staff members for different reasons. So we're trying to figure out, come on in. We're trying to figure out how to make it all work. And we just got through with a bit. We do a lot of creativity at Faith Family Church. We do six different sets a year at least, and we pretty much do creative elements every month there's something big. You know, you're always working on something big right now, and you're, you know, just tracking back. You're always working on something big. And so, at least at our church, we are. And so here we are, kind of behind, running behind. So I meet with the creative team, and I'm telling you, it was one of those situations where we got to pull it together, and it's got to be great, and we got to do it now. So we meet in this little coffee shop, sitting around a little sweet shop, and I'm like, okay, guys, what do you got? What do you want to do? And they're like, here's what we want to do. Okay. They pull out their laptop and they play this song from Trans-Siberian Orchestra. There's this awesome instrumental band special. I mean, I was like, it was rock. And then the electric guitar says, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and Carol of the Bells. Dun, 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 dun. And I'm like, the lighting's going to be like middied with the sound. It's going to be like amazing. We've got this big fiber curtain. It's all going to be awesome. And we're going to blow their socks off. We just can't wait. So they go through and they're like, okay, we're going to do the big opener. And then we're going to do three traditional songs. We're going to take it down, sit on stools. We're going to be nice and sweet and give them their traditional songs. Then we're going to do a drummer boy special. They love it. We did it last year. Everybody's kept asking for it. We're going to give it to them. And we're going to do it. Michael did the arrangement. It's amazing. We're going to do that. And then we're going to do Pastor Welcome Sermon, right? And so I'm like looking at all this stuff, and we're kind of working on it together, working on what we're going to do. And it could have been amazing. It could have been. Okay, just keep that in mind. All right, I'm going to talk to you about 10 top things that I think you have to believe to be a creative team, okay? These are in your notes. So first, I already said in there about Matthew. Hey, the fan. Rico, raise your hand if you're on our team, on my team, on the team. We got these guys, Mike, Rico, Mickey. Yeah, he actually wrote a little song about a fan in my office because it was so stinking hot in there. Yeah, a song written. We performed it in church. I'm not kidding. You really did. It's a true story. Okay, Matthew 13:13. I already said that. We know the big why. I mean, and that's the big why. Every pastor knows the big why, that we're doing what we do. But every time, with your creative team, whether it's volunteers or whether it's your staff, they have to be sure and really understand their why. Mm-hmm. And having a really good mission statement really will help your team. Study Fortune 500 companies. Have a good mission statement. It's something to always go back on. Our mission statement, we want to make it simple enough that they really understand it, and it really needs to say what it is. Okay, what's our mission statement, guys?
Maximize impact.
They know it. Can you just go up to your team and say, what's your mission statement? They know it. Maximize the impact, because here's the deal. All we're doing as a creative team is to maximize the impact of whatever the pastor's vision is. We don't have our own personal vision as a creative team. Our whole mission is to maximize the impact of the service. So I can go to the lighting guy and say, are you maximizing the impact of that song? Are we maximizing the impact of that transition? Are we maximizing the impact of that prayer partner slot, that speaking part? Are you maximizing the impact? And always reminding them about maximizing the impact. Because if we can get busy and we can want to get it done versus get it right, because we got so much we're trying to do, right? So there's a good why. But here's the bigger why, okay? The bigger why is this. If you study the human brain, and I can't go into a lot of it because you can go Google and study the human brain. I don't want to turn this into a science class. But this, in the human brain, you've got the neocortex. Some of you know a lot about this, some of you may not. Your neocortex is the part of your brain that's reasoning, it's logic, and it handles speech, right? That's what, okay? What are you going to do? I'm going to do a dance. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take an offering on this. I'm going to do a big campaign on this. We're going to do whatever. Kids, we're going to do this at home. I mean, you can take this to any level, from ministry services to any part of life, honestly. The human brain, neocortex, handles the what, okay? Then you've got the limbic brain, and it handles how and why. The limbic brain, now check this out. This was so cool when I learned this. I loved it. The limbic brain is the part where there's feeling, where your trust is built, your belief system is built. When you're dealing with people and you're trying to get with people and reach people and you go with the what first, if you're building services and you go, what are we wanting to do? And you're attacking what first, you may end up going the wrong direction because what you need to be looking at is why are you doing it first? Why are we doing this here? And when you're talking about, check this out, this is cool. The limbic brain doesn't have speech. And guess what else? That's the part of your brain that makes decisions, not your reasoning. So if you're addressing creativity or people, marketing for your ministry, I'm also with our marketing, we're seeing our marketing social media. If you're hitting them with the what, before you're addressing their trust, belief, core, personal doctrine, whatever it is, they might not connect. Let me give you a great example. Okay, Texas. Pollution was horrible. Pollution and littering was terrible, and they were wanting to fix it. So back in the 70s, they came up with a campaign to stop pollution in Texas, to stop littering. And they said, little owl, give a hoot. Woody the owl, give a hoot. Don't pollute. Well, in Texas, we shoot little owls. That didn't connect with anybody in Texas, right? And so, like, the next thing, the campaign they came out with, I think in the 90s, was this old Indian, and he'd look out at his land getting destroyed, and a tear would run down his face. Mm-hmm. Well, in Texas, what are you, a sissy man? That did not connect with Texans. So finally, they came up with, don't mess with Texas. Pollution dramatically went down. Littering dramatically went down. They were kept saying, what? Please don't litter. Please don't litter. Please don't litter. Give a hoot. Please don't litter. They never did the what till we connected with the why of a Texan. Now, what about your church? What about your church family? What are they made up? Was it a bunch of traditionalists and you're trying to get them more millennial? Well, don't just try to make them swallow the what. You know, you connect with their pastor. Jim did a great job. He just kept connecting with their why, because here's what we did. We just kept telling them how our next generation's important and your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, right? So when you're thinking about developing a service, you're thinking about first, why are we wanting to do this big opener? Okay, now here's some other things. Okay, hang on. These are almost anything too big. I don't want to jump too much, but I might a little bit. Let's go ahead and get these so you can just, if you're one of those note takers that has to fill all your blanks, I just kind of did that because, well, you know, Pastor Jim always does it. Anyway, communicate. I'm not going to really go a lot about the practical process because I just wrote it all out for you, and you can just take it home. You can see everything that Faith Family Church does, and it might help you. You might have some things you might want to call me and say, I got a better idea. You know, we learn from one another at SIG Church, that's for sure. But in communication is, and I'm going to come back to the why, what, and all that in a sec, but let me get you this. Communication is probably one of the biggest culprits. It's the creative team's best friend. Because if you don't communicate well, and there's several things that need to be communicated well, but you want to communicate the big idea. What's the big thing we're trying to do, Pastor? What's Pastor's big thing he's trying to do? Understand it well and communicate it well. Communicate the plan on how to do it. Make sure that's communicated well. Communicate the process of how you're going to do it. And then every change along the way needs to be communicated. How many of you know and have experienced failure in something in a service because good communication didn't happen. Well, I didn't know you wanted to do that. Well, I didn't understand it. I didn't know you. Nobody told me that. I mean, happens. So over-communicate. That's just a little basic tip. Don't forget to do that. Because I've talked to my team recently. We've been doing this for years. And I went around the room, what's been better this year? Well, our communications got better. Every one of them, I'm like, man, that's a big deal to them. They want to be communicated with well. And can I also tell you this side note?
If your team doesn't have trust and safety, they're going to stay out here. Communication in a trust, safe environment is definitely relational and connected. If your team is scared to be wrong, scared that they can't be honest, a fear of watching their own back, they're slightly defensive and they're always watching their own back, and it really jacks up communication on your team. Right. So they stay out here. They're not going to come in here. They've got to trust their leader. And they've got to trust their team members. And that really, if you're having any challenge with communication on your team, it might not be that you're really not communicating. It's just nobody's really listening to each other because they don't. Their limbic brain's not connected. You can have that with your own staff. Be sure you're connecting with their belief core system, especially with millennial staff. Another thing is like your doctrine. When you grow up, I'm an Xer, and you grow up as an Xer, a traditionalist, your internal this is, I do what I'm told. That's what you believe. You believe to the core of your being. You just do what you're told, and you don't ask questions. So that doesn't work with millennials. They don't have that, and it's not their fault. That's how they were raised. That's how the generation went with them. You know, so you can't do that with them. So anyway, that's another thing. Just keeping that in mind. All right. Okay. I want to hit all your little blanks. Are any of you guys blank people? I want to fill them in.
I don't see any blanks.
You don't?
No.
Y'all didn't get that?
Somebody filled them in for us.
Oh, well, then I don't have to worry about it. I was all trying to make sure I gave you all the, and put like, okay, y'all got the wrong thing, but it really isn't the wrong thing. It's still everything. So, no sweat.
Amy, your notes are in the significant folder.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, those. Yes, the one who said Pastor Jim was part of the workshop, I thought, oh, man, they're going to all be so disappointed. He's not doing the workshop. Anyway, yeah, there's... Yeah, but you've got it all. Now you've got more than that. No, you don't.
This isn't the thing. What are y'all looking at? Let's be sure I understand what y'all are looking at.
Yeah, those. No, ma'am, that's what it is, right there. Here, somebody give me.
Yeah, in your workshop, ma'am, for a second. Folder is this. You don't have to do it. It's up to you. It's just if you want to take this. Okay?
So let me jump back to this for a second, okay? So let me finish the story with Christmas. And you're gonna see how it all is like, oh, wow, okay? Big opener. Totally didn't hit. We come out. The guys practice. We had the lights. Right? It was just like a wow. But the deal is, there's four ways you can really blow it or really succeed well. And I'll say God gave me these because I prayed really hard one time after a big service blow up, and I thought, I've got to go talk to the team, and I don't want to upset everybody. What do I say to him, God? I mean, I'm like, you've got 3 minutes because he's in the altar call. And I said, God, you've got 3 minutes to give me something. And he said, they failed on one of 4 points. They didn't understand the expectation. That would have been my fault. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the leader's fault. A lot of times it can be, really. They didn't plan it well. They didn't practice well, or they just didn't execute well. And you can do that too. You can do all this right and still blow it in execution. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in whatever you're doing. So knowing those things, and here, the expectation, that's where you're talking about the why. That's where you're connecting with why do we want to do that. When I'm talking with lighting guys, I'm like, why did you pick that color? Why did you do that move? Because cool. Well, maybe it's cool too, but you know what red does to the human psyche? It's an aggressive color. You know, if you want someone to feel calm, then why don't you close your eyes, listen to the song and how it makes you really feel, connect with the music, and then open your eyes, and if what you see disconnects you from what you're feeling, you've probably picked the wrong color. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's actual psychology in everything we do, because God's just pretty much that smart. Right? So we have this big opener, doesn't hit, and you guys know, if you mess up, and I'm telling you, we practiced every transition. We had it perfect. I mean, we were smooth. The stage, we practiced. I really blew it as a leader, because I was just going, okay, what are we going to do? We're in a hurry. I really needed as a leader to catch that and go, okay, wait. What's the expectation of the crowd? They're expecting Christmas Eve candlelight service. They're expecting to come in and do this. And we're going to be like, bam! And I don't care how cool it is. And it was. But it just was not a good idea. Okay. Well, sort of not a good idea. And that's another thing. And maybe it's a good idea. It's just not right in the service where you're putting the service. Okay. So here's what we did. We did this little setup. Thank goodness we actually had another day of doing it. Because when you blow it, you really can't undo it. All you can do is learn from it. And you need to do that too, right? But we blew it. So we had another service the next morning. And I'm like, I am not about to go out there and do what I know is not working. I'm not. And Pastor Jim's like, if you need to cut the song, just cut the song. And he was not happy because he felt it. Church felt it. All the traditionalists in the crowd were like, ugh. And once they're like that, then by the time we go to this, they're all like, you know, it's just weird. It's awkward in the room. So I went to the rehearsal, and I'm thinking, gosh, do we cut this element? I don't want to cut this element. God, and here's another thing I just want to encourage you on with problem solving. You can't problem solve if you're thinking defeatist at all, because your brain really can't multitask. If you study the brain, it can't multitask. It can just jump. But it can really only think about one thing at a time. So if you're thinking, this is not going to work, this is a failure, this is bad, your brain will continue building blocks on that, because that's just the direction you're aiming it. So it'll go, okay, we're thinking what reasons why this won't work. So I'm a brain. I'm going to keep telling you reasons why this won't work. I'm going to keep telling you reasons why it's going to fail. I'm going to keep telling you why you can't make it work. So what you do is you tell your brain, there's a way, and it's, your brain goes, okay, there's a way, there's something, and your brain begins to start looking for that something, and you open your mind up, and you let your brain start looking. I tell Mickey all the time, and it's in the notes, I don't know if y'all ever saw the movie series of Unfortunate Events, all these problems, the girl, tie your hair up in a bow, Mickey, she starts panicking, Amy, all the volunteers for the skit are all sick. Nobody can do it. I'm like, there's a way that we can make this work. Something we can do. We're not just going to say, Pastor Jim, we just have nothing. You know? And I'm like, Tie your hip on a bow, Mickey. Don't start thinking negative. Okay. There's a way. And then, you know, it doesn't hurt to pray. God, you said you make a way where there seems to be a way. No way. You said that you're ever present help in time of trouble. We got a problem. We got to fix it. So here's what we did. Literally, and here's where being a leader is important to get your team to trust you. Thank God Michael trusted me. Thank God my team trusted me. Because right before the service, I'm standing there minutes, maybe like 10, 15 minutes before go, Christmas morning, right? And I stood in the aisle and I said, God, what do I do? There's something. Don't want to tell all these guys that have been practicing our band for hours. We're going to cut your song. I've done it before, because I'll do what I have to. I've literally said, I'm sorry, you're not singing in this. It's a show. You're going to stand over there. You're going to sing. You're going to lip sync, because you are not hitting it. I've done that. I've been like that. I've had to. Okay, here we are. God, what do we do? And he just went like this. Boom. And you know what he did? He took me to this. He didn't take me directly to this, but this is what it was. He said, you're going to take this opener. Michael in his drummer boy song is singing, I played my drum for him. I played my best friend. You're going to take this opener and you're going to put it here. And you're going to go tell Michael, and I mean, this is the whole team, the media team, the lighting team, everybody's got it all planned out. And I'm like, here's what we're going to do. Michael just looked at me and he's like, okay. So we're going to take the big opener. And if you guys do services, you know what the big deal this is. We take the big opener. We're moving it here. After Drummer Boy, you're going to walk up and you're going to go, doesn't God love it when we give our gifts for him? Doesn't God love it when we just give our gifts for him? What did our congregation do?
Yes, he does. I believe that.
our band, they come up here every week and they just serve God with their gifts. Don't we appreciate them? Yes, we do. They've got a special for you. And so, hey, they've got a special for you. And I said, okay, Mike, you just have to remember three things. Because he's like, oh, God, I've got to come up and do a talking point. I'm like, three things. Just remember to tell him. I mean, and this is like fast, right? He's on stage walking around thinking, okay, I've got to make this up. So we do it. We move this here. We start with this here. Because guess what? This was the expectation of our church. Sing Christmas carols. We candlelight. We hit them with what they expected, and we got them comfortable. Okay, you do stuff that they don't, it's just uncomfortable. It's like cramming it down their throat, right? We got them comfortable. Then we went to Drummer Boy, which they love. Michael went out there perfectly. Doesn't God love it when we give our gifts to him? Doesn't he appreciate our band? Don't we appreciate them, how they come up here and they give their gifts for God? Then we've got a song for you. They cheered. They went crazy. My parents loved it. My mom and her were like, that was beautiful. I nearly cried. The night before, Mom was like, hey, so what do y'all want for dinner? I'm like, hey, we're staying out of service. Oh, okay. I'm serious. The very next morning, she was like, when they came out and they played that, I nearly cried. Why would they nearly cry when the other time, same deal. They were resistant to it. It was because we connected with them. So if you can learn that and teach that and encourage that and not forget that, because that was my blow. I really let it go. I just like, what are we going to do? Let's do it. So it worked. It was beautiful. And having a team, another thing is just being careful how much you control. Do something real quick. Everybody get that piece of white paper out, okay? Get that white piece of paper. And just draw the person next to you. And then show it to them. Draw somebody next to you. But not your husband or wife. That's too comfortable. Not your husband or wife. Draw somebody in the room. Draw somebody in a picture of somebody in the room. Just your best rendition of somebody in the room. And how about if I give you 30 seconds? You ready? Okay, 30 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah. 30 seconds and go. Okay. Some of you got a head start, which is awesome. Show me how good you draw. And if you're not doing it, you're just gonna ruin my whole example, but that's fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding.
Can I do this on the whiteboard?
There's enough. You want to get up here? I'm kidding. But enough of you do it that it works. So I can at least have an example, right? 10 seconds, 5 seconds.
You know why I'm not the
kid. Okay, you know who's, who,
I wouldn't judge you at all.
Wait, stop. Okay, now.
Kristen Penn.
Oh, yes, because I have to get back to my wife now.
Oh. Okay. Coach Mike, you get, or...
I see you like this.
Oh, yeah, he's making points, all right? All right, how many of you, our time is plenty it up right now. What do you
think? You did much good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, did you show the person beside you?
Yes.
Okay, how many of you? How many of you were, just curious, how many of you felt a little embarrassed to show your piece of art? Who felt embarrassed? All right, just do me this favor. Raise your hand if you didn't do it at all, which is okay, but I just need you to help me with this. Raise your hand high. I didn't even do it. That's fine. You know, there's no points off. Now, all right, listen. Keep them up. And then everybody raise your hand that felt embarrassed about your drawing. You literally felt embarrassed about your drawing. Okay.
So,
here's the deal. Most of us human beings, and just think about this for a second. When you're a child, children, if we did this in a kindergarten class, they would all be proudly showing everybody, wanting to show the teacher their drawing, right?
Some are still kids.
But why do we feel, because when we grow up, we start getting fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, self-consciousness,
And that can translate pretty big, even for, if I may say, anybody, even if you're the senior pastor, to the, you know, whoever. That fear of failure or fear of embarrassment can stifle the creativity of your church. And here's the deal, it stifles innovation. If you can be a very, very innovative church, or you can be a very efficient, but you can't really be both. Now there's times for everything, right? I mean, you can do things efficiently, especially in your administrative departments. But if you're trying to keep your creative team and your services super, super efficient, then yeah, you probably won't make a lot of mistakes and you're gonna be real safe. But you may not get to those great, you've gotta be, Formula 409. You know the spray cleaner? Mm-hmm. It's called 409 because it took them 409 times to get it to the right thing. Mm-hmm. What if they just gave up after 100 tries? So if your younger team or people in your church are like, hey, we wanna do this, and it's like, no. Just don't be too afraid of failure. Because I know I learned from two ways in my 27 years of ministry, working in ministry and creative production. And that is mentoring and mistakes. And I'm not sure which one more, to be honest with you. I mean, that's how many mistakes I made. But every time you make mistakes, you just learn from them. That's the beauty of making a mistake. You learn. What do you think the guys from Formula 409 did? Okay, this didn't work, so we just don't do that again. If I hear somebody say, this happens every year, I'm thinking, what are you, ding dong? Why didn't you change your process, change your plan? Don't keep doing the same thing if it didn't work. If you're saying, this happens every year, then obviously, I mean, do you understand? Does that sound mean? But it's like, really? Why would you let it happen every year? If something doesn't work well, something doesn't work right, make a new plan, make a new process, implement something to make it not happen again. It's pretty much that simple. I tell myself that all the time. It's like, I don't really care. I care if you make a mistake. Yeah, I'm not like, yay, we blew it. But it's like, I'm not going to beat them over the head, but I really start getting irritated if they keep making the same mistake, right? Mm-hmm. So just another thing. Don't hinder creativity, and there's different ways you can do that. And so you want to, if you want to be innovative, if you want a lot of ideas, you probably have to have about 20 bad ones to get a good one. So you got to be willing to flush through all the bad ones. You need to have that freedom in the team. Sometimes, now let me say something about a leader. Leadership can, I don't care how much they like you, it can be a little intimidating if they feel like you're just going to trump everything. If you talk first as the leader, if you're the leader and you, like, now, of course, the pastor has to give a vision, because if you want to have a creative brainstorming session and you have no boundaries, that's a waste of time. It just is. You really need to know your boundaries in a service. And you need to know where they stop and where they start. And the pastor sets those, and you respectfully just go with his boundaries. And then he gives you his blocks where you're free. I need to know, where do I have freedom? Where do I not? And I'm going to we'll go with it. Here's what we can do, and here's what we can't do. And so get your boundaries well, get your expectation well, and then you start diving into creativity. But I know I started having my team just meet without me, because I thought, man, I don't want them to be like filtering their ideas before they just spit them out, because we may miss some good stuff. So in a room, just make sure, you know, if you're wanting to meet with your team, just make sure that you become comfortable enough where they just feel like they can say anything. They can say the stupidest ideas, because sometimes a not-so-great idea, someone else will hear it, and it'll spur something that's good. You want to be able to just throw it all out there. You want to throw out those 20 crazy ones. And you want it to be fun and easy. And so I started letting them do that. Now I think we can create together pretty well, right? But at one point I thought, I don't know if they're being honest. I want them to just go and have fun and create, and then they can come meet with me and we'll have a second meeting later. We did that for a while. And the leader needs to speak last. I really try. I try, guys. While they're giving creative ideas, I might know if 5 words out of their mouth, this is not going to work. And I'll just sit there with my mouth shut and listen to every single idea and let it play its way out. And then we'll maybe think through some things. And there's been some times I was wrong. I thought, this is not going to work. And I didn't, well, actually, it's a better idea, you know? So leader speak last is a really, really good, it's kind of a good rule of thumb. Just let them all talk. And in whatever meetings, because really and truly, I know we've had some
executive meetings with Pastor Jim, and I'm like, you know, they're not talking because that, I mean, it's like, hey, so anybody has anything to say? And they're all like, whatever you say, you know? It's like, come on, guys. I'm the blabbermouth in the room. He's like, I like it when you're in there. It kind of keeps it motivating. Because I'm not afraid to be dumb, and I'm not afraid for Pastor to tell me I'm wrong. You know, you just want to get ideas flowing and be honest and open, right? So understanding expectations, planning practice. You've got all this in your notes and execution. And here's the thing. Don't a good leader... Let's talk about one other thing real quick. Instinct. A staff member can have tons of instinct. When I was young, I had tons of instinct. I mean, just naturally, I really did. I honestly don't remember not winning first place in every junior high school, college, speech, drama thing I did. It was just real instinctive for me to do drama and creativity, but I didn't have any intuition. I would turn in stuff to Pastor Jim, and he would be like, this needs a lot of work. And I'm like, geez, what? I just prayed and everything. God laid it out for me. This is the Lord.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, and it took me years of, this isn't right. So instincts can work great with young staff, but they need intuition, and that takes time for them to learn. Intuition, the difference is it's learned. Instinct is not learned, it's gut. And your intuition is learned, and your staff can learn to have it, but then there's something that goes deeper, and that's insight. Insight is something, honestly, I don't know how much you can or can't learn that. I don't know. Maybe you guys do. But it's deeper. It's where you have foresight, where you can go into that rehearsal, and you can know this is not going to work. I'll tell you what happened here. Because we were running so behind, when we finally got to that very last run-through, Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon for Saturday night, I finally got to see it really all together. And Michael can tell you, I walked through the sanctuary because I'm like, I've got to meet with Pastor Jim in 3 minutes, and I know this isn't good. And he's like, what's wrong? Remember my face? I knew, insightfully, this is not going to hit, and there's nothing I can do about it because I waited too long. We didn't have enough time for enough practice, and I didn't really get to see it all pulled together. And now that I see it, too late. And I just had to go in there to Pastor Jim and do our little time before he goes out, and knowing it's going to, and sure enough it was. And it was just, what do you do, right? Luckily we had another shot at it. But insight is just that knowing. You need somebody, because honestly everybody on your team is not going to have that insight of the whole. The band guys are doing their band thing, and they're knocking it out of the park. The lighting guys are doing their, but then bringing it all together, somebody has to have insight. Insight gives you the ability of hindsight. Someone with good insight is going to have hindsight, and they're going to have their insight, and then they're going to have foresight. They're just going to know it's wrong, and if you trust that leader, it's probably right. That insight thing that's in you right here, that comes from here, that just, like, I can't even explain why, I just know it's not right. Or I can't even explain why, I just know it's going to work, right? Okay, Joy, you want to come up here? And Joy's going to share a little bit.
I've been the creative director. My dad's Pastor Swan, so I've been the creative director there for about 7 years. I feel like we handle our creative stuff a lot different, just from hearing her talk, which is cool. So you can see two sides, because every leader's different, so every staff and team will look different. One of the goals of our creative staff is what we say is God took 6 days to create an environment, and then he brought people into it. That's our goal, is to create incredible environments way before people ever walk into our building. So from our traffic team to everything a part of our service, before the first song hits, we take a big, big matter. We think that our traffic people should look and feel a certain way because it's an environment we're creating, not just a service. So we take a big part in that. We did begin to add, we have incredible services. We're really event-driven. So we have major moments in our year where it's like super creative. The entire service is super creative. But truly, we dumbed down our creativity probably 2 to 3 years ago and said, gosh, we sing every week and it's a 7 out of 10. And 7 out of 10 wins, but a 7 out of 10 isn't a 10. And we do announcements every week, and we preach every week, and we do offering every week, and it's all great. We're the best church in our community, and sometimes a lot of us are, so we'll rely on that. But we said we no longer want to be 7 out of 10. We don't care if we're still the best. We want to be 10 out of 10s. So we took and dumbed down everything we did. Truly, we do creative moments once a month, maybe, But our services are amazing. We don't have bad transitions. Our songs are on purpose. It takes us about 2 hours minimum to choose our 5-song set list. So our creative team works really hard at day in, day out, week in, week out, moments where everything we do has the same heart of Dad's message. Every song we sing feels right. It's not like, well, thank goodness we had to sing one more song, so we chose that. We're just super intentional with everything that we do. Signs on a door are a big deal. That sounds crazy, but you're not allowed to put a poster on our door without it going on my desk and me saying, I don't like those colors. That's not how we're going to do that. We have a style guy. Everything we do is super intentional. So we don't honestly have all that much time to do these major creative moments every week in our service. We don't. We believe in doing 10 out of 10. So if a skit doesn't hit, we won't do it at all. If we don't feel like it has a major why, I totally believe in that. If it doesn't have a major why, like if we're just doing it to be creative, we really, really don't. Okay. So we take a different approach to creativity, which hopefully all of us do. I always say I can go into a church and tell why it's growing sometimes and why it's not. It's because the team doesn't match the pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, even, I mean, I can go anywhere and say, well, you know, we do things differently because we match the DNA of my dad. I never want to do things that Faith Family does if it doesn't match David Swan. I never want to do things that Church on the Move does if it doesn't match David Swan. And so we just check that. You know, our praise and worship suffered for a long time. We didn't know why it wasn't as great as the other stuff. As Dad, like Dad was the big pull, and Dad would always say, I mean, I like being the good pull, but it feels like when I get on stage, I'm starting the race versus getting past the baton to finish the race. And so we just decided, like, okay, he jumps on podiums for a point and does cartwheels, and he's crazy, and he yells, and he's excitable. But then our praise worship's like, how are you guys doing? And you're all, oh, it didn't match. So we're just really intentional about making sure the heart of our church, you know who we are from the beginning of pulling into our parking lot to when you leave our parking lot. We are Faith Christian Family Church. We're a great place to grow up and grow old, and if that doesn't fit, we don't do that. So I hope I left time for questions for me or Amy.
That's good.
So, questions? For us?
But now I have a million, but
we'll talk about, like, I can probably ask questions other people can't ask. I'm her mom.
Yeah, I'm all one.
And she's but still. Talk about, like, what you said about the songs. That probably, in my thinking of 36 years, that was the big thing that you tackled that began to make a huge difference in our church. So
yeah.
Explain what you mean by that. Like, it was a good statement, but explain it.
So I sit down, everything I do as ever. We do by team. So, like, even our lighting guy, he's in the moment of us picking songs. We got a brand new beautiful LED wall, and we were doing, like, okay, let's make a video for every song, and then hopefully, you know, we have great videos. And it was cool until you watch the video, and you're like, okay, you just went from a blue video to a red video to a green video, and that felt stupid. Or like, wow, that was... And so anyway, we do everything with intention. Everything from start to beginning should feel like a journey. So every song list, everything, we're scratched every week. So we, for me, Michael probably just has a way better idea. I don't sing. Like, if you heard me, you'd be like, that girl's a part of song selection. But anyway, we choose the end. So, like, we choose one of my dad's famous sayings is begin with the end in mind. He stole it from Stephen. No. Anyway, I can't think of a thing. But so we choose our last song. Like, what is the moment Dad needs to come up on stage to do the best sermon that his heart is to do? So we start with our last song and trickle back. Sometimes that's 4 songs. Sometimes that's 5 songs. Sometimes that's 3 songs. But we always, always, always begin with the end in mind of choosing the thing that Dad's going to walk up on. How do I want to feel when Dad walks on stage to tackle the moment, the message?
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of questions. So I'll just give you one, though. You mentioned the idea of, I think you've covered one of them, of like the overall visual from all the way from the parking lot all the way in, and that staying consistent, I guess in the secular world we call it brand. But
yeah, it's our brand.
More like matching.
Yeah,
you know?
We brand it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when you're, are you really the Gestapo over that?
Yeah.
Or is it team after that? Or
no, it's for sure me.
Like, so you're the brand manager, really.
We have a design guy that's fantastic, and we have an incredible relationship where I can look at him and say, look, I get that you think that's super cool. I'm not denying that is super cool, but that is not Faith Christian.
Right.
Change it.
we have a color scheme. He's not allowed to go outside this color scheme. He's not allowed to go outside our like our fonts unless he feels like, hey, this is
10 different fonts.
Oh God, and it can get ugly fast. Yeah. So I mean, honestly, I want people to get a postcard in the mail and not have to flip it over to say, who's that from? It's Faith Christian. They know who it's from. If they see a sign in town, if they see a Facebook, I mean, we're intense enough to where if they see a Facebook post, they don't even have to check on who it is. Faith Christian Family Church. So yeah, our brand is super important to us. We really made that transition 2 years ago, but brand is a big deal.
And I have a question for you, so I'll just wait.
No, go. Yeah.
Okay, I don't mean to jump on the questions, but I know you guys, you don't write your questions down. You don't have your questions written down? I'll back off.
You said you changed 2 years ago. How did you change? How did that transition take?
For branding?
Right.
So my dad...
Billboards, you probably got billboards.
We actually stopped doing billboards. Okay, so my dad is really momentum driven. So if I can give him hard numbers and say, you're killing. We used to do bulletins. Maybe some of you do, so I'm not looking around the room. Bulletins were literally the dark hole of money. We don't even do sermon notes. So I gave to my dad and said, look, Dad, you do all these great things, and you have all these great people on staff, which I trust, but they are really putting out a crap product. And help me help you be better. And he's like, well, help me understand. And my dad doesn't know what a brand is. I mean, he's 60 years old. Most of them, they don't, and that's okay, but that's why you're hired young. But like, I mean, we got to the point where we created a logo where like we wanted to, in 10 years, I hope we're like Nike, where if you're walking around town and see just the emblem of Faith Christian Family Church, doesn't have to have our name, they're like, oh, that's a Nike, oh, that's Faith Christian, I like those people. Do you get what I'm saying? So we made a hard shift to say, in our community of 50,000, I mean, we're pushing more and more, but we want to be known everywhere people go, whether they come to church or whether they don't. So that's what mattered to us. That's what got my dad. He's like, oh, I want the whole community to know who I am. And I'm like, okay, let me help you.
But so you cut some things so you'd have more money.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Good. If you need, I mean, any staff member that's not a pastor, if you're looking to hire somebody, if you're looking to buy something, sell something, and get rid of something else, that's our philosophy. Don't ask your pastor for money.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So,
go ahead.
So I'm kind of in a situation where I don't have trusted people like I used to, and I have newer people that I'm having to prove my trust to, and it's kind of been that thing. So you made some great statements, and you have people like pastors' kids on your team, but yet they are still pastors' kids. Mm-hmm. So they have a sense of power, right? And there's all kinds of weird things going on in any group, right?
Oh, sure.
So when people start shutting down, in the midst of a creative meeting, they just do this. And in our world, they get on their phone, or they just do this. Could be my wife. Mm-hmm. Could be me. Do you have any little tricks, just tricks up your sleeve to just kind of get them stay, like re-engage, or instead of getting mad, you know, hey, stop. You just turn your head down. What are some things to keep the group moving?
What do we do, guys?
Well, she usually says, what do you think, Rico?
Oh. Are you a go-to guy because you'll come up with something quick, or do you shut down on the phone?
No, it's just like whenever she's trying to regroup us, she'll ask us what.
Like sometimes I notice, though, like for our meeting,
if it starts stagnating,
it's because somebody has another problem with somebody. Or like last time I said an idea, they shut me down hard, so I'm real. So
yeah,
I don't say anything in meeting. I bring them out, and I'll say, like, hey, Cole, that's one guy on our team that's super inventive, but he can shut down fast. So I'll say, hey, Cole, I just felt you shut down. Did I do something? Or what is happening with it? And they're like, well, last time I said something, he just popped off and I don't like that. And I'm like, let's deal with that. Let's just bring him in. That wasn't his intention. I know who he is. So I always deal with it after the fact.
In the meeting itself, one of the things, and it's just true, you can Google it, you can study it. The reality is, there's 10 tips to creative thinking in there that can help the team a little bit there. But the reality is most creative ideas come alone. You're going to get twice as many creative ideas by yourself than you will in a group. And if a group gets too big, the bigger the group, the fewer ideas are going to come to the table. It's just a fact. So if you're going to have a group meeting, you really have to have really great expectations defined, and so that they know what they're trying to do. And then keep it light, keep it a little bit fun. When you're studying the mind, there's things that increase focus and decrease creativity. The room lighting, definitely stress. If they're stressed or if they're afraid. then if they're scared, then, you know, it is just going to kind of shut down. And sometimes you just have to wrap it up. And one thing I won't do is just try to keep barreling through a painful meeting. It's just like, hey, guys, you know what, let's just go back to your offices. And I will. I'm just not going to. And sometimes you have to not allow a certain person to be part of the team. And that's a delicate thing to do. But there can be real killers in a meeting.
And hey, I just want to say this quick because my name was on here and I didn't feel like I didn't do what I was supposed to. So I was going to say three things, and if you have a question, you can ask me and I'll get out of here and let the real experts talk, all right? But the first thing I want to say, Amy was, she used to come in the back row of my church. And she wanted people to Christ, but I don't even think she liked our church. I wasn't sure I liked our church when I took it over. I liked the people, but I didn't like the church. And if you could go back to all the hours she volunteered, and then once she got paid, I'd probably be thrown in jail for the amount of money she's made. But anyway, the thing that I saw was an ability to help me reach the guys I went to school with. I knew she could get creative with that. And I think she used it like Ezekiel. Whenever God was talking to him, he said, these people, they see but they don't see, they hear but they don't hear. Jesus quoted that later from Isaiah, who said it as well. But God had Ezekiel do some amazing things to get the message into people's hearts. So that's the first thing I just want to say, is that bringing in the people who are good with the unchurched, not people who think they're creative, but people who are good at getting the people you're called to reach. That's huge. The second thing is, I will tell you, I am more humble when I leave my creative meeting than any other meeting I ever leave. And the older you get, the more humble you get. But it was kind of neat because the experience of that meeting has allowed us all to get together, and we're in the process now of our mission statements to make Faith Family Church a great intergenerational church that will soon be led by millennials. So there's a book called Sticking Points, if anybody's in the middle of that, and it's written by the Covey people, and they talk about the 12 ways that we just see life different. And it helps your millennials understand the traditionalists who are still giving money to your church. And so they treat your traditionalists better whenever they understand that. And these guys, you know, you heard all that about get them up on the platform and do all that. That's so incredibly important, because I found that the older people in my church, there was nothing I could say that would motivate them, like them standing there and watching Acts 2:17 before their eyes. But the next generation is prophesying. So anyway, that's really about all I have to say. Your questions are probably better here, but to look for the people that really have skill at reaching the people in your town that you want to reach, I think that's a good critical thought. Mm-hmm. The other thought I think that is good is enjoy being humble. You know, they hear you the other way all the time, mm-hmm. And you know, we did our family night. We did that karaoke night. You know, I got kids who are musicians. I always get booed off the stage 30 seconds, I was gone, you know? My kids' favorite family night, right? And creativity in the church, I think it works a lot the same way. So, all right?
Yeah, I think it's time.
Yeah, no, you're good. I think it's
so
2:30.
Good. Great job, guys.
Thanks, Joe. Go to Joe's session next. Hey.
The only thing that I would want to add to Joy is, and it's literally the only thing that I would disagree with, and that's that we do everything very different. We don't do anything different. Everything she said was exactly what I'm trying to say. And that is, you have the vision of your pastor. Our pastor wants creative stuff a lot. It's just his. And so, you know, we serve him.
Yeah,
you're
that's
serve
huge.
Your pastor,
huge.
We're going to serve our pastor. So that's another thing, just super important, is to understand the expectation. I want to talk about, what does your church family expect? Mm-hmm. What's the pastor's? You always have to have your why. And the why is our mission statement, to maximize the impact of Faith Family Church, not our own thing. So if Pastor Jim says, this is where I want to go, that's where we go. You go where your pastor goes, and you follow the vision of your pastor. Totally. So actually, I want you to totally agree with everything. That's exactly what we do.
Cool.
And so just, it's and imitating another church is a big mistake.
Sure.
Why? Because you're in different regions. Right. I can tell you, if you've got a bunch of rappers in the room and you go pulling out a country western song, you're not going to hit it. If you have a country western group in the room, you pull out a rap, you're not going to hit it. It's just, where's the right thing for the right group?
Yeah.
You know your church better, you really do, than anybody else. So you take the best from other churches.
Now, if we saw there's a thing you guys
did, some dance that Jocelyn's in, it was like,
sure,
it inspired us to do something. We get inspiration. I can go to a
almost any kind of church and get inspired somewhere, because you're searching for that one thing that could maybe be beneficial, and then you tweak it to you.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any other questions at all, like anything? Is there somebody? If otherwise, feel free to leave the room. But here's the thing, we want to be open, Joy and I both, and sure. Even my team. So if you have any questions, like, there is no, I can tell you, in 27 years of doing creative production, there is no challenge you've been through that I've done this, I promise. I mean, in that much church life, you've seen everything in the creative team, every kind of bad thing that can happen, every negative thing that can happen, every people thing that can happen. If you know, Joy's been through a lot of it, we've all been through it. So if you have any questions, like, how do you handle this, how do you handle that, you know, we can share insight. We might have a question or two for you, right? So.
I look forward to the day we actually have a paid staff that can be a creative team, but we are 3 years old, and so we're working with volunteers, and even our staff, they have jobs outside of, because we don't pay them enough. Thank you, Ron. But what can we do to make our creative elements better and without a team, really? So our creative meeting is Justin and I, and then some emails to Ron and Jeff. Pretty much. So, that's how it goes.
For us, we notice, and this is our region, like she was saying, our millennials, our young people, don't care about creative stuff. They want to come in and they want to see that they matter. So, like, what matters is, like, I prepared for you. We start on time. Like, do the things that you can do right and let things evolve out of that. But don't feel pressure, like, to do things creatively. I think that's such a myth anyway. I would do everything you're doing better. And then I would go from there, but I wouldn't put pressure on yourself to have creative elements, especially starting young. And that, I mean, if it were me, I for sure would handle it that way. But.
And don't mistake creativity for a song and a dance, because you can be creative in finances.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? You can be, creative thinking is just thinking of something that's not just the cookie cutter obvious. Like, hey, what's a creative way, God, to inspire them to give? What's a creative way? And doesn't mean a song or dance. Maybe it's in how you prepare what you're going to say creatively. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just being creative, just knowing God is like the master creator. Everything that is creating things in us, creating things in the world. So how does he want you to create your environment, create your service? Mm-hmm. And you guys all know about the thermostat thermometer. If you're a thermostat, you're setting the temperature of your congregation, your room, that day. If you're a thermometer, if you don't intentionality is so huge. If you're not intentionally setting the temperature about how literally you unpack your service from every little part of it, right, then you really end up being a thermometer engaging the temperature of the room. Yikes. And then the pastor has to come up and reset it all. Yeah. He's like, wow, you really made me do a lot of work here, because you just sometimes
killed it.
Sometimes minimalizing is the thing to do. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. Also remember, God really does. He puts his gifts, he puts in your church what you need. Who he calls, he equips. If he has not called you to do big productions of 200 people with 200 costumes and lights and pyrotechnics, he's not going to. I mean, if you're wanting to do something that he's calling someone else to do, just ask him what he's calling your church to do, because he knows exactly where you are right now, and he knows how to maximize the impact of your service. And he's put the right people there, and they'll grow. And empowering people is super important, and trying to raise up this next group. And we were all volunteers. I was a volunteer. I mean, we didn't have a staff member doing it at all at first either. It's just volunteers. But he provides. He provides set builders in your church if you need set builders. He provides. Painters, if you need painters, he provides whatever it is you might need, he'll provide it.